live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the news desk with the main evening news. Farmers will be asked to cut their emissions by 25% under plans approved by government leaders this evening. The government gives the green light for the completion of the Donegal Community Stadium in Stranorner. The nephew of a missing Dunfanaghy woman issues a direct appeal to her to make contact with family or Gardaí. A man who raped, assaulted and coercively controlled a Donegal woman in the course of a six-week relationship has been jailed for 17 years. And a Donegal councillor describes the fine issued to the developer of the Mean Bog wind farm as scandalously low. Later, Kenny Harkin is here with the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. And indeed, we begin with a farming story this evening. Farmers are to be asked to cut their emissions by 25% under plans approved by government leaders this evening. The agriculture sector will have to eliminate a quarter of its emissions output over the next 8 years. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Tense negotiations over the last few days had been at an impasse. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell saying emissions should be cut by no more than 24% for his sector. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan going no lower than 26%. In the end, they've split the difference and government leaders have approved a 25% reduction in emissions for agriculture. Ministers have been getting calls as part of an incorporeal cabinet meeting this evening to approve the deal. It's on the lower end of the 22 to 30% range initially approved by government. A press conference to announce the deal is expected in the coming hours.
The government has given the green light for the completion of the Donegal Community Stadium in Stranorner. Earlier this month, Donegal County Council confirmed €500,000 in match funding for the completion of the facility, which will be home to Finharps Football Club. Similar amounts have been confirmed by the club and the FAI. That went to government for approval, and this afternoon, Sports Minister Jack Chambers confirmed the project could go ahead. Local councillor Patrick McGowan is the Cathaoirleach of the Lifford Stranorner Municipal District.
Obviously, that all had to go back to the minister and the department for approval, because the 4 million sports capital allocation was dependent on all of the matching funding and the other conditions to be put in place. I'm told now that the Finharps Stadium is good to go. We're ready to go. Contractors in place, fund is in place, and finally, all of the permissions are now in place.
From the point of view of the stadium, obviously Finharps are going to be using it as their primary stadium, but it's also the Donegal Community Stadium. There's going to be more to this than Harps. It's going to have other uses as well. It's going to be very much a facility for Donegal into the future.
Absolutely. Just talking to Paul McLoone and a few other committees, particularly in the last few years, is a realisation out there they just can't have a stadium sitting there from week to week, or you know, every other home game. Like, they try to utilise it to try and maximise the turnover, try and make some capital out of there, because obviously the running costs of managing a team that's in the league, in the National League, is quite a few, and it's good for the whole town, it's good for the whole county. We have the Finharps Academy, we have women's football, we have a lot of requirements, and we also have a plan application sitting now on board Panola for the All Wellas Stadium. So it's good news, and I have no doubt all these facilities will be well used.
Councillor Patrick McGowan. The nephew of a missing Dunfanaghy woman has issued a direct appeal to her to make contact with family or Gardaí. Andrea McCollum has been missing since Wednesday last, when she left her sister's home at Nerney in County Kildare. The 49-year-old was last seen in Port Arlington on Friday. Andrea is described as being 5'6" in height, of thin build, with brown hair and blue eyes. When last seen, she was wearing a grey hoodie, dark bottoms and runners. Michael McCollum says she may have travelled back to Donegal.
As far as we know, she went missing from my auntie's house in Nerney in Kildare. It was Wednesday night. The only confirmed sighting we have of her was in Port Arlington on Friday last. There's been a couple of unconfirmed sightings. She could be anywhere, but Donegal's her home, so definitely a possibility. We just want her home, we want her safe, and we miss her and we all love her. If you're listening, Andrea, come home, please. We miss you. I'm worried about you. Home is where she's needed.
A man who raped, assaulted and coercively controlled a Donegal woman in the course of a six-week relationship has been jailed for 17 years. 36-year-old Dean Ward, also known as Dean Alexander Fox, used a different name on first meeting his victim. With more, here's Emma Ryan.
Earlier this year, Ward was convicted of four counts of assault, false imprisonment, making a threat to kill, two counts of production of articles, three counts of rape, and coercive control on dates between June 11th and July 17th, 2019. At the Central Criminal Court today, Justice Carita Naidu suspended the final year of an 18-year sentence for the most serious rape offence. He imposed a four-year term to run concurrently for an offence of coercive control, which has a maximum sentence of 5 years. Speaking outside court, Sinead O'Neill from Killybegs says she was speaking out to show others that support was available. She said that she felt stuck in fear, but that she received amazing support from the moment she reached out to Gardaí for help. She said she hoped that her case would encourage anyone out there in an abusive relationship to seek help and confide in somebody. She said she believed that by getting Ward locked up, she has saved other women from a similar ordeal.
And there are more details of the sentencing hearing and the evidence at the trial on our website, highlandradio.com. Police in Derry are investigating a serious assault in which a man was bitten on his face. The incident was reported to police on Tuesday, but occurred in the early hours of last Sunday on Waterloo Street between 1:30 and 3 a.m. With more detail, here's Owen Murphy.
The victim, who's aged in his 30s, is reported to have been punched and kicked and bitten on his face during the assault, which involved two males. The victim sustained injuries to his face and his hand. One of the suspects is described as being approximately 5 feet 8 inches tall, of a medium build, while the second male suspect is described as being approximately 6 feet tall and of slim build with black hair. Inspector McDermott said this was a vicious assault, which has left the victim not only very distressed, but has also left him with an injury that may require further treatment. Police are keen to hear from anyone who was in the Waterloo Street area around this time and witnessed the assault or has information to get in touch on 101.
Investigations are ongoing following an early morning attack in Ballyshannon. A man in his 30s was assaulted at around 1:30 this morning. He was taken to Sligo University Hospital for treatment. A Donegal councillor says the fine issued to the developer of the Mean Bog wind farm was scandalously low. A court order was made against the developer in recent days with a €1,500 fine issued, as well as a notice to cover mitigation works costs. The Mean Bog landslide caused destruction to local land and waterways in November 2020. Donegal County Council is currently pursuing a live enforcement case. Councillor Gary Doherty says measures are necessary to protect against such incidents in the future.
It's important that members are updated as to the investigation of the landslide at Mean Bog, because obviously we're coming up to 2 years now since the landslide happened, and it's still very concerning that members need to be updated as to where the investigation is at. But we would have also seen media reports last week where the developer of the wind farm up at Mean Bog was in court and was issued with a fine of €1,500, which seemed to be a scandalously low figure for what was such a catastrophic ecological disaster at Mean Bog. And that's very, very concerning, that the possibility that the developer would get away with such small punishment for what was such a terrible disaster.
The European Commission has approved an €80 million Irish scheme to improve the fisheries sector affected by Brexit and give it support. The scheme, which focuses on decommissioning, will run until the end of next year. Aid will be granted to Irish registered vessel owners in the form of a direct grant to compensate them for ceasing their fishing. It'll be partially financed under the Brexit Adjustment Reserve. EU Commissioner Arianna Podesta has been outlining the terms of the scheme.
It will basically support the fisheries sector, reducing the vessel capacities. There are some compensations foreseen based on the gross tonnage of the scrapped vessels, and also on the quotas for fish of the vessels. So basically those that have a higher dependencies on the fish species for which the quotas have been reduced following the exit of the UK will have a higher premium.
The Health Minister's acceptance of NIAC's recommendations to extend the COVID vaccination programme is being welcomed. Second boosters are to be offered to a cohort of people, including those aged between 50 and 64, people who have an underlying medical condition, and healthcare workers. Noel Cullen, Deputy Operational Site Manager for the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre, says work is progressing to ensure the rollout can take place later this year.
We're starting now to get confirmation of the next steps and the programme for the autumn coming in. So we're delighted that we've got the recommendations from NIAC and it's been endorsed by the Department of Health.
So when this does become operational, who can benefit?
So a range of people can benefit, Michaela, from across most age groups, but people would need to be checked on the HSE website basically to check their eligibility, because there is certain criteria for certain age groups according to what booster they can get.
Meanwhile, pop-up vaccination clinics will take place over the coming days in Buncrana, with first and second booster vaccines available, including first and second vaccines for those yet to receive them. The clinics will run from 11 to 5:45 tomorrow and on Saturday at the Exchange in Castle Avenue. A West Donegal councillor has hit out at Irish Water after there was further disruption to supplies in Maharoroti and Mean Lara today. Councillor Micheál Colum-McGlaspach says this is an all too frequent occurrence, especially as there are over 100 young people using the local community hall in Maharoroti for summer camps and Irish language classes. However, he says despite the ongoing issues, Irish Water refuses to meet with them.
I've been constantly on to Irish Water to look for funding to upgrade the pipeline in the area, also to look for a site meeting, and Irish Water continuously refused to meet us on site. A local community that has been proactive in making sure that there's development happening in the area, and here we are, Irish Water refusing not alone just to meet me, but refusing to meet the local people within the area that's affected.
The Junior Transport Minister has pledged to listen to any applications from Donegal County Council for extra road funding, but stopped short of making any specific commitments. Hildegard Nocton said annual allocations will continue for major road projects, but also stressed that public transport is being prioritised. She says there's an appreciation at government level that Donegal is a rural county that needs good roads, but stressed there are other amenities funded by her department.
Every year we give allocations in relation to roads funding, and roads is absolutely critical. We have active travel, walking, cycling infrastructure as well, which is really important here. I was only meeting a local councillor yesterday in Donegal talking about the importance of active travel, our greenways, cycleways and footpaths. But we also need a robust roads network. And I think in a region like Donegal, which is very rural, are acutely aware of that. Councils every year will put in their proposal to the Department of Transport in relation to the roads that they want resurfaced, upgraded, and that is the channel which to do so. So the commitment is there, it's in the National Development Plan, but this is funding that will be given yearly to our local authorities, including Donegal.
The big difference, say, between Donegal and your own home area of Galway is you have a train station. Donegal lacks a train, it lacks vital infrastructure, and that, the argument locally is, should give Donegal an edge.
What we're looking here is, I suppose, that regional connectivity. I'm responsible for airports as well, and I have ensured that Donegal Airport has that public service obligation route between Dublin and Donegal, and I have used it myself. I know how critical that is for connectivity. The same in relation to public transport. We have our Connecting Ireland fund. Basically, that's about public transport in rural areas. It's not about our urban centres, and Donegal is in a prime position to be able to look for that funding, and the funding is there. We're actually spending 2-1 in relation to public transport over roads yearly. So really it's up to every local authority to identify the key routes that they need and want serviced, particularly in relation to public transport.
Minister Hildegard Nocton there. New listenership figures have cemented Highland Radio's position as Donegal's most listened to radio station. Today's JNLR figures show in the year leading up to the end of June, 78% of people in the county tuned into Highland Radio each week, with 55% tuning in every day. Highland's market share sits at 63%. That's the highest of any radio station in the country. Fionnuala Rabbitt is Highland Radio's CEO.
Now that we're back up to a full schedule, it's fantastic to see that our numbers are increasing. On behalf of everybody here at Highland, I'd like to thank all of our listeners and clients for sticking with us during these unprecedented difficult years. We promise to ensure that Highland Radio continues to be a great success and a great voice for this region going forward.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes past five. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll start with soccer news on the pitch tonight. It could be a famous night at the showgrounds where Sligo Rovers, they're hoping to dump Motherwell out of Europe. The Bitter Red hold a 1-0 lead going into this evening's second leg of their Conference League qualifier. Letterkenny man Shane Blaney's part of that Rovers side. St Pat's have also an action tonight. They travel to Slovenia for their second leg with Mura. The sides there are level at a goal apiece. Both those games kick off at 7 o'clock. Also tonight, Crusaders, they host FC Basel, trailing 2-0 from the first leg. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. And ahead of the game tonight for Sligo, they've confirmed the signing of Verbeets Hartmann on loan from German Bundesliga side RB Leipzig. He's ineligible for tonight's game due to not being signed in time. He's signed with Sligo until July 2023. And the Sligo Rovers ladies side have signed Republic of Ireland international Amy Boyle Kerr. The 21-year-old makes a return to soccer for the first time since 2019, having decided to step away to commit to Donegal GAA. The Glenties native had earned her first Irish senior cap at the age of 17. And Shamrock Rovers, they've signed Daniel Cleary. The former Dundalk defender was released by St Johnson earlier this week. Rovers need defensive cover with captain Roberto Lopez out for up to eight weeks with a knee injury. And as you heard from Donal on the news, the government has given the green light for the completion of the Donegal Community Stadium in Stranorlar. Earlier this month, the Donegal County Council confirmed €500,000 in match funding for the completion of the facility, which will become home for Fin Harps Football Club. Similar amounts have been confirmed by the club and the FAA. The government that went to government for approval, and this afternoon, Sports Minister Jack Chambers confirmed the project would go ahead, which is great news, of course. And the next course of redevelopment, another League of Ireland club at Dalymount Park for Bohemians, will hinge on a report to be delivered by September the 4th. The original plans for a 6,000 all-seater look set to be scrapped due to a cost to cost inflation. An alternative would be to build upon the existing Dalymount footprint. Elsewhere across channel, Everton have completed their third signing of the summer and their second from Burnley. Dwight McNeil has joined the Goodison Park club for an initial €18 million. The winger signed a 5-year contract. In horse racing, the Galway Hurdle is the feature of day 4 of the Galway Festival. The Willie Mullins trained Adamantly Chosen is set to go off as favourite. That one's just about to set off on another busy day in Galway. In golf on the Challenge Tour, Switzerland's Joel Gerbach retains the clubhouse lead on 8 under par on day 1 of the Irish Challenge at the K Club. John Murphy's the best of the Irish out on the course. He's on 5 under par. Gary Hurley shot a 4 under par 68 earlier today. And on the DP World Tour, Niall Kearney is 5 shots off the clubhouse lead on the opening day of the Hero Open at St Andrews. He carried it a 4 under par round of 68. American Sean Crocker's the clubhouse leader on 9 under par. And in ladies golf, Stephanie Meadow is level par with 8 to play in her first round of the LPGA Tour's Scottish Open. Korea's Hai Jin Choi leads the way. She's a clubhouse leader on 8 under par. And on the PGA Tour, the Rocket Mortgage Classics just about getting underway in Detroit. Last week's winner, Tony Finau, he's out early today. He's the early leader. He's on 8 under par through 17 holes. In rugby, Ulster and Connacht will meet in the opening weekend of the new United Rugby Championship season. Leinster's campaign opens away to Zebre, while Munster will travel to Arms Park to play Cardiff. The new season commences on the weekend of Saturday, September the 17th. In motorsport, four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel says he's made a difficult decision to retire from Formula One at the end of the season. The Aston Martin driver won all of his titles with Red Bull and earned 53 race victories throughout his 15-year career. And in cricket, the T20 Pro Series is taking place in Dublin. The Leinster Lightning are playing Northwest Warriors at the moment. Leinster Lightning batted first. They scored a massive 260 for 3 of their 20 overs. It'll be a big task for Northwest Warriors to get to that. And 72 nations are preparing for tonight's opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, from hosts England to Norfolk Island in the South Pacific, and what will be a big ceremony this evening starting at 7 o'clock. Finally, if this evening on the score later on, we'll hear from Jason Gibson of Bonagie United, Gavin Cullen, Coghill Celtic, Ollie Horgan, Finn Harps, and Rory Higgins, Derry City, ahead of the first round games of the FAI Senior Cup this weekend. Plus, there's a preview of the Donegal Senior Hurling Championship final between Setanta and Burt. First up, though, we'll be hearing news about Sligo Rovers ahead of their game against Motherwell with Declan Boyle. That's the score after 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, this is the time of year for agricultural shows. The Glencolumbkill show is on Sunday and as always will attract big numbers, while the Mena Cross agricultural show is on Bank Holiday Monday and the 53rd Clonmany agricultural show is on next Tuesday. Meanwhile, this year's Ballyshannon agricultural show will be on Sunday, August the 21st. Well, the big topic for many farmers at the moment is the emissions reduction target for agriculture. To get an overview of where things are as we reach the end game in the negotiations, earlier today I spoke with Pat O'Toole of the Irish Farmers Journal for an overview.
It has to be a compromise. This is about cuts. It's about cuts in emissions from farming, and it's going to be very hard to achieve significant cuts in emissions from farming without some cuts within farming, and that's been understood from the start. The question as to what, I suppose if we go back to last November when these broad bans were announced for the six sectors that are being targeted to reduce their emissions, agriculture had a wide band from 22 to 30%. It was the lowest of all the bans, and there's been a lot of commentary about that, but having said that, it impacts directly on the business of 130,000 farming families, whereas if you look at other sectors such as energy, transport, buildings, they will affect everybody. We'll all have to retrofit our houses. We'll all have to, pay for more for diesel or drive electric cars. We'll all have to pay more for our energy as we transition to renewable energy sources. But farmers in their business are being tasked with this job of reducing their carbon emissions, while also, and this is being largely forgotten, dealing with a very high ambition target of 38 to 57%, and let's see exactly where that lands, for the land use change and forestry sector. And of course, that massively affects farmers because land use, land ownership, land use change is central to farmers and they're central to it. So actually, the reality is that two of the six sectors involve the day-to-day activities of family farms. And as a result, it's very emotive. We know we can get to somewhere around 18% if we have full adaptation of the MAC curve, the marginal abatement measures. And there are things like no more use of splash plate and slurry spreading, that everybody has to sign up for the low emission slurry spreading, switching from urea to protected urea and nitrogen, calcium ammonium nitrogen, and so forth. So if everyone were to do that, but that's going to be difficult because the reality of it is that the profile of our farming population, the demographics make fast change difficult. A lot of farmers are older. A lot of farmers are operating small holdings and they're doing things in quite a traditional way. They have their systems. It's working for them. They're paying their bills. But encouraging change there is going to be a slow pull. And we're going to need a huge rollout of advisory. So you've got all of that going on in the background. You've got the KPMG report commissioned by us in the Farmers Journal, which looked at the impact of various levels of cut. And it said that a 30% cut would be very deep indeed, would reduce the value of farming on an annual basis by billions and could lead to up to 80,000 job losses in the agri-food sector, not in farming, but in the agri-food sector. So that's a very significant impact, even if it's overstated, there's no doubt that reducing our carbon footprint will leave a deep footprint on how we farm, and the stakes are very high.
If we take a county like Donegal, where we've a lot of part-time farmers as well, are we likely to be less affected because we have less intensive farming?
Very possibly. You would think so, because it's about reducing carbon emissions. We carry a front-page story today where the Dairy Vision Group is looking at a buyout scheme for dairy cows. I think that dry stock farmers are going to look for some kind of equivalent buyout. Some commentators are saying that the government believes that natural wastage will occur in the dry stock sector anyway because of the demographics of it and the scale of it on a lot of farms. We have average herd size of, 15, 16 cows on suckler farms. The average dairy farm is over 80 cows now and is rising. So the very different demographic breakdown, but I would think that dry stock farmers will look for compensation for a voluntary cessation scheme as well, like for like. So those who get out will be choosing to get out rather than being forced out, and the farmers who remain may not have to massively reduce their carbon footprint. We're talking about, at the moment, they're saying a 10% cut some commentators are saying that a 10% cut in the current national herd, which would bring it back towards 2014 levels pre dairy expansion, would be all that would be required to hit the 30% or the upper limit. Against that, farmers would point out that we had the same amount of cows in 1986, or same amount of animals in the national herd in 1986 as we do now, and global warming has not been caused by extra cows in Ireland. It's been caused by fossil fuels mainly, and by huge increases in air travel, globalization and transportation routes for goods, and consumerization. I mean, it's projected 30% of the energy resources of Ireland will be consumed by data centers at the rate they're going up at the moment by 2030. So that's new. There were no data centers in 1985. So we've got new challenges. Farming is not new. It's very old, but farming has changed massively in the last 100 years. It's going to change massively in the next 5 and the next 10. And farmers need to be ready to absorb this change, just like our fathers, our grandfathers did before us, and grandmothers and mothers, and just crack on with it and have a positive attitude, a can-do attitude. But we're going to need state support.
And finally, Pat, of course, all this comes at a time that there's a lot of talk about food security. The population of the planet is expanding rapidly. Ireland is going to be producing more food, and we have to balance in all these factors.
Yes. And we've seen some very polarised debates. I think the most notable one maybe was on primetime on RT when Tim Cullen, and the IFA president, was up against George Monbiot, a campaigning journalist, who believes and stated that he thinks that animal farming has to stop, that it's destroying the planet, that we need to return the vast majority of farmlands to the wild, and we need to produce our food from crops and from labs. And I'm not sure that that we're there. It sounds like a very sci-fi vision of the future. I'm not sure that we're there, and I think the vast majority of people would consider that to be an extreme reaction to where we are now. But there's no doubt the climate's in trouble, and farmers can't. We can plead special case, but not to the point where we can expect to do little. We're going to have to do a lot, and we're going to have to stretch, and we're going to have to work hard. But farmers have always worked hard and they've always stretched. So I don't see why we can't stretch to this new challenge at all. I think that once we get this polarised debate out of the way, once we're given a target and we knuckle down to the job of achieving that target, I would have every confidence that we have the capacity to do it. What we're doing is radically different to what was done 40 years ago.
Exactly.
And what's being done in 40 years' time will be different as well. So, let us keep doing what we're doing is never really a cogent argument.
And that was Pat O'Toole of the Irish Farmers Journal. And in other news, funding is on its way from the government to Chagas to buy farm machinery simulators for use in agricultural colleges in the coming academic year. Over half of fatal farm accidents are associated with tractors, farm vehicles and machinery, and Chagas believes that enhanced training on agricultural machinery is an essential tool to improve the safety record of the agriculture sector in Ireland. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Well, a conversation between Chris and Pat Leahy recorded earlier this afternoon. Just before we came on air, we did get confirmation that farmers will be asked to cut emissions by 25% under plans approved by government leaders this evening. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConlogue was arguing for 24%. The Environment Minister Eamon Ryan didn't want to go any less than 26%. They both agreed to split the difference. So 25% will be the target. A press conference expected to include Minister McConlogue, Minister Ryan and other senior government figures to take place a little later on this evening. There'll be more of that, of course, on our bulletins over the course of the evening. Well, the forecast and Met Air intelligence will stay mostly dry for the rest of the evening with sunny spells and a few light showers, light easterly or variable winds. Tonight, dry with clear spells, some mist or fog patches developing in light southeasterly or variable breezes. Lowest overnight temperatures 9 to 12. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly dry to start with sunny spells in the morning. Cloud gradually increasing in the afternoon. Isolated showers developing. A band of more persistent rain then spreading eastwards towards the evening. Highest temperatures tomorrow 18 to 22 in light to moderate south to southwesterly breezes. Other main stories this evening. The government has given the green light for the completion of the Donegal Community Stadium in Stranorlar. The nephew of a missing Dunfanaghy woman has issued a direct appeal to her to make contact with family or Gardaí. Andrea McCullum has been missing since Wednesday of last week when she left her sister's home at Nerney in Kildare. A man who raped, assaulted and coercively controlled a Donegal woman in the course of a six-week relationship has been jailed for 17 years. A Donegal councillor says the fine issued to the developer of the Mean Bug Wind Farm was scandalously low. A court order was made against the developer with a 1,500 fine issued, as well as an order to cover mitigation works costs. Well, there are the headlines. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 28th of July. The death has occurred of Mary Ellen Doherty, Greenhill, Linsford, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Buncrana Community Hospital or St Columbkill Village, Clea Clonmany. The death has taken place of Sadie Langan, née Catterson, 7 Clooney Gardens, Claddy, formerly of Gortnamuck, Castle Fim. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Dunnyloop, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Dunnyloop Chapel YouTube channel. The death has occurred of Connie Malloy, Wood Road, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:40 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. The death has occurred of James Jimmy Dillon, Maharinan Letterkenny, formerly of Kiltoom, County Roscommon, reposing at his residence in Maharinan until 9 o'clock this evening and again from 12 noon until 9 tomorrow. Family time only, please, before the funeral. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for Requiem Mass at 10:30, which can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family Fares Only pleas to nations, if desired, to the Donegal branch of the Irish Kidney Association, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Lawrence Deary, Gort na Brad, Carrigart. Remains reposing at his late residence. Neighbours and friends welcome. Funeral from there tomorrow to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of Jonathan Johnny Keating, 11 Fern Hill, Glencar, Letterkenny, reposing at the family home, 4 Tara Court, Letterkenny, from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock this evening. Jonathan's friends only pleas. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family Fares Only pleas donations, if desired, to the Emergency Department, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.